What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's a Wednesday. Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Yeah, Mike and Billy, the Net Fan contingent across the way, other side at the controls, and Bogish with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Next 3 hours, we keep you company right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. All of our great affiliates across the country, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Good. Very good. Looking forward to another excellent show we have on tap here for the next few hours. Going to kick booty across the country as we do every single morning. So we got a special guest coming up a little later on also.
Yeah, we do.
Matt Chatham.
Matt Chatham will join us a little later on in the program. We'll talk a little Patriots football. NFL analyst Nesson, he'll join us as well, coming up your way in the third and final hour. But we get going a little baseball. MLB trade deadline, 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. One trade last night that came down. We'll get into that, a three-team deal that involved Trevor Bauer being traded from the Cleveland Indians to the Cincinnati Reds. We'll get to that here in a little bit, but speaking of the Reds, they got themselves involved in a little bit of a melee last night with the Pittsburgh Pirates, in which teams do have a long memory. Dates back where the feud between the two teams involved Derek Dietrich enjoying a home run to the chagrin of the Pirates earlier on in the regular season, where that home run came off Chris Archer, and that was April 7th when he did that, hitting it out in Pittsburgh. And you thought that day maybe, you know, the situation had been rectified, because the following at bat, Chris Archer threw behind Derek Dietrich, but it did not come to an end as we saw a melee breakout and basically an all-encompassing good old-fashioned baseball brawl breakout last night.
Yeah, it was big. It was, it wasn't your basic baseball, little pushing and shoving here and there. Guy gets another guy's face, and, the dugout's clear, and the bullpen, every guy's run through the outfield towards the infield, and it's just a big, as we call it in wrestling, pull apart. You know, that's where there's really not a lot.
There was a lot going on last night.
This was different, right. This was not just your basic pull apart, as I would call it. This was a fight. There were fights all over the place, managers fight. It was extremely, extremely intense. I haven't seen one of these in quite some time in baseball. You might have. I don't remember a Moose, but it got ugly, but I mean, it was entertaining at the same time. I don't think anyone was injured, which is a good thing.
Yeah, let's take a listen to how it sounded. Here is Greg Brown, Cut 15, Billy, Pirates Radio Network.
And here comes Amir Garrett. He's leaving the mound. He wants a piece of somebody. Amir Garrett takes a swing and gets a punch. The Pirates bench is emptied.
Punches
Amir Garrett
are being
went
thrown.
Flying, and they are hitting each other
punches
all over the place.
This is not
this
usually.
Is a real fight.
Yeah, and then here he is as the brawl does continue. Greg Brown, Pirates Radio Network.
Hey, look, right here, look, here.
Puig wants nothing to do with him. Kyle Crick wants nothing to do with Puig, and who can blame him?
Exactly.
And now the scrum continues in front of the Pirate dugout. This is a real Donnybrook.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, I haven't heard Donnybrook in a while. That's a good old
one.
School.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah. So, Garrett, who used to play basketball at St. John's, comes rolling off the mound, challenging the entire Pirates bench, and then basically jumps on to half the team before reinforcements do come for Cincinnati as a full-on melee does ensue, involving Yasiel Puig, who at that point, a trade had been agreed upon, where Yasiel Puig was headed to the Cleveland Indians, but he was still in the game for the Cincinnati Reds. Mr. Blonde Mohawk and all get involved in the brawl for the Cincinnati Reds, which was a strange scenario as well.
Yeah, it was, and he's a big dude, as everybody knows. I mean, he's about 6'1", 6'2", about 240, 245. packed with muscle, badass dude, man. So, you know, he's not the guy you want to throw a punch with. Yeah, but very impressive that he was in there battling for his team, which in essence wasn't his team anymore because he's on his way to Cleveland. But back to Garrett, the pitcher. I'm glad you met. I did not know he played for played basketball for St. John's. And that makes sense. Now I'm like, wow, I'm looking at him on the hill next to the coach before the fight actually started. I'm like, this guy is giant tall. He's like 6'5", 6'6", and now it makes sense. He was a basketball player.
Yeah, he was. He was. David Bell, who the manager for the Reds, who had been ejected earlier on, about 17, 20 minutes before this brawl broke out, came rolling out of the clubhouse as well to get involved in the brawl. Let's hear from some of the particulars, shall we? Here is David Bell talking about the very fact of not being surprised by what transpired last night.
Didn't surprise us because it's kind of been going on all year. So I say it didn't surprise us, but it's I can't tell you how disappointing it is that it's still going on and nothing's been done about it.
How about the Pirates here's Bell as well talking about the fact of he couldn't stand the way the Pirates acted last night.
It's a shame that this is allowed, you know, and that they're able to get away with it. You know, they celebrate it, they support it, they clearly allow it, or I don't know if they teach it, but they allow it. It's dangerous. I mean, you can go on and on about so many things wrong about it.
Well, I mean, what he's referencing in terms of, you know, sending purpose pitches, throwing pitches high and tight, as you saw from Keeler last night for Pittsburgh against Dietrich, which, led to this rehashing and which ultimately led to the brawl and the back and forth and jawing back and forth, which, I mean, listen, that's really, you know, kind of old school baseball. You know, it's been around the game for a long, long time. It's not going to go away. When a team feels like they've been disrespected by somebody admiring a home run a little bit too long, and there's a number of other different factors as well. Protecting your teammates if a guy throws in and tight, could lead to another purpose pitch being sent your way or your teammates' way, whatever it might be, Taz. So I'm not surprised by it, and for David Bell, you shouldn't be surprised by it either. I mean, people throw purpose pitches all the time.
Yeah, it's been around the game for a long time, to your point. You know, what that deal you referenced would kind of spark the whole thing last night with Kayla. Joey Votto, you know, from the Reds, he was jawjacking, you know, from the field while Kayla was in the dugout. He was jawjacking him, and kind of, you could read their lips some of the stuff he was saying, telling him what you did. I can't say the words, but I wrote down what he said, what Votto said back and forth with him in the Pirates dugout, from the Pirates dugout, from the field. So Votto was pissed from right out of the box. You can't blame him. He's sticking up for his teammates. So
yeah, I don't blame Joey Votto. I mean, the case is there a place for it in Major League Baseball?
Well, hey, let's take a listen real quick. Let's go. Let's listen to Joey Votto talking about supporting his teammates.
I don't know anything about what his objective was. If it was just an accident, it very well could have been. And Derek's on my team, and I'd like to think I stand up for my teammates. I think that today was a good example of all of us standing up for each other.
Hmm. Well, you know, and like you had asked, Moose, is there a place for baseball? I hear you. I mean, it's kind of a. It's a tough to answer because it's been around, as you know, for so long in the game. And like you just heard Votto, and I think every player would say the same thing on every level if we're just talking the sport of baseball. You know, guys are going to stick up for their teammates. They're going to, you know, otherwise you get a bad rep if you don't have the back physically of your teammate in a bad situation. Now, as far as throwing at people's heads, if that's what you're asking, no. I don't think there's a place for that. Well, and that's been around too forever. I hate that.
I mean, if you look at it, it wasn't as much up and in seeing it on replay once again as it's being replayed all over the place.
Yeah.
And Votto's got to know. I mean, we played that cut. I mean, Votto's got to know after the game that pitch was on purpose if he's going to continue to jaw to the Pirates bench afterward. To say after the game, well, I don't know if it was on purpose or, you know, maybe the ball slipped, but, you know, to, you know, instigate or I would say add fuel to the fire by continuing to jaw or jawing with the Pirates bench, you better know that pitch is on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
He can't tell you that what he said after the game. I mean, everyone expects, you know, Votto to protect his teammates. That comes along with the territory. We see that time and time again. But you've got to know that that pitch was on purpose, that Keeler stepped on the mound with the intent to throw, you know, up and in to Joey Votto, no?
Right. Well, he threw it with Dietrich's the guy he threw above his head, and then he struck him out the next pitch because Dietrich, to end the inning,
right, but my point being is that he's got to know that that pitch was has to be on purpose, right?
But then after the game,
you can't basically tell me that he didn't know if it was on purpose or not.
Yeah, well, maybe, who knows? I mean, after the game, these guys, they're frazzled. They just were in a big brawl that... They lost the Reds, so they were probably pissed at many levels. But, you know, it was interesting that when Kayla throws the ball at Dietrich and high above his head, now you got the batter, and this is what happens in the game, obviously. You got the batter reeling and rocking on his heels, and you got two strikes on him already. Next thing you know, he goes down swinging awkwardly because he's nervous where that ball's coming. He's nervous if he's going to get headhunted. That, even though these guys are elite athletes and they're pro baseball players, you throw at someone's head, and then they get back in the box. That batter's defenseless. He's like, now what? And then you get him whatever, a slider, an off-speed pitch, or a curveball or something. And that's what happened. And he ended. And that kind of ticked off the Reds, too, because, you know, that strategy, you know how it is. You throw at the guy, and then you get the guy on his heels. And next you know, he goes down looking, or he goes down swinging, and the inning's over.
Yeah, let's hear from the Pirates manager. Here is Clint Hurdle. Take a listen.
The pitch that came out hot from Keone got some reaction. And then Votto came over to our dugout and had some things to say. And Hughes hits Marte. And then Garrett eventually ends up coming over to our side again. Things just continue to escalate.
Yeah, here is Keone Kella talking about the fact of throwing inside.
You have to pitch in. You know, that's part of this game. And the day that we're not allowed to pitch in is the day that the game of baseball forever changes. You know, so I was just doing my part.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, guys are going to throw inside as long as you don't hit somebody up in the head. And certainly, pitchers, if they feel like they're being disrespected by someone enjoying the home run a little bit too much, as we saw earlier on the regular season, April 7th, when these two teams met up, and this is what it's all dating back to, when Dietrich admiring a home run, I believe it was out in Pittsburgh with Chris Archer on the mound. And then we saw this all flare up once again last night. So, there's no place for throwing high and tight. There's no place for that in Major League Baseball. You want to send a purpose pitch, hit somebody in the small of the back, hit him in the rear end, hit him in the thigh, whatever it might be. That's one thing. You never aim at somebody's head. And, you know, we saw last night it get very, very ugly out in Cincinnati.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, from a personal experience, I know my son, when he was younger, this is before he segued from baseball, you know, he played baseball, football, and then segued to lacrosse. When he was younger, he was probably, I want to say, fifth grade, and he played baseball on a summer team. He was a good player, and he played on a really good travel team, and he was playing with kids a year older than him. So, you know, we were playing all over the place. This game happened to be on Long Island, this tournament we were in. And I was across the country working in California for WWE, and he got hit in the face, my son, with a ball, a pitch, from a really good pitcher, a young kid who threw gas, you know, gas for kids that age, but threw the ball hard and hit him right under his eye, his cheekbone. He had to be rushed to the hospital. And here I am in California. My wife calls me crying and hysterical, and I'm like, "What? I don't know what went on." Thank God my brother-in-laws were there and stuff. They went to the hospital and everything. Point is, that was the last baseball game my son ever played. Okay, he then segued into lacrosse. He was trying to get back in the box and play, like in practice and in warm-ups, and he was so shook. And now, even though it's a young kid, that could happen with adults too. You know, college players, they get hit. And you see why a lot of guys now wearing chin guards and face guards on their helmets. It's like a common thing. Back in the day, guys weren't doing it, not even that long ago, because it was like a code of honor. You don't wear, I'm a Major League Baseball player, I don't wear a chin guard. I don't wear, you know. Now you see a lot of guys wear that flap, you know, and it's smart to wear, you know, because it can change everything about the way you play.
I didn't really take it as being a macho thing or kind of, I took it, I didn't even know if it was invented as of yet.
I know after he got hit.
Yeah.
They were around. It was just called the flap. They were around, okay. and he didn't play. I got him the flap right away, and for practice and for, you know, with his hitting coach and stuff. And it just wasn't, he wasn't like crying before he got in the box. He acted like he wasn't scared, but he flinched on every pitch. Every pitch, he couldn't. And I remember talking to a buddy of mine who was the coach. He's like, yeah, he I don't know what he's going to do here. I don't think he's going to be able to play anymore. Seeing guys get hit in the face, I don't care what age they are, you know, it's, that goes back to obviously my knowing what happened with my son because I lived it, you know. But the thing is, I do think that anybody goes near the head with a baseball, especially how hard and fast these guys throw, it's just you could kill somebody. I mean, it's that bad.
You could.
It's that bad.
You're not. I mean, it would have to be hitting the perfect spot. But yes, I mean, with the guys throwing the ball 101 miles an hour, certainly you can. I mean, I had a similar experience where I got hit in the chin and I got knocked out. I was able to continue my playing career. You had a situation last night, and you mentioned you referenced the situation with your son when he was in fifth grade. Then you have to, pretty much stay strong, overcome maybe some of the little bit of the fear that of stepping back in the batter's box. Yeah, it's difficult. I certainly remember the time when I did and when I got back into the batter's box.
How old were you?
I was in Little League.
Like 12 years old, something like that.
Yeah. So because I just remember getting hitting the chin, and then ended up on the bench. Next time I remember, and an ice bag on my chin.
Well, if you hit in the right spot, it can knock you out. That's
sure,
what I, right?
Yeah,
that, you
yeah.
Know, that,
the and button was like, oh, yeah, yeah, but. I did get back in the batter's box. I did continue playing. I enjoyed playing baseball. I was a pretty good player when I was a kid. Enjoyed doing it. But I could understand it. You've seen other guys where it does negatively affect them over the course of their career. So there's no need for that in terms of throwing high and tight.
Right,
And certainly, when you're in fifth or sixth grade, guys aren't trying to hit anybody. It's just a matter of whether or not you lose control. We're talking about guys that have got pinpoint control.
Yeah, of course.
When you make it to the major leagues, you have control of pretty much every single pitch that you throw. I mean, and you know where the general vicinity or general area within, 2 to 4 inches of where that pitch is going. So everything is on purpose. Nothing slips to the point where you miss a mark by 4 or 5 or 6 feet. Even with the seams being a little bit decreased this year as compared to years gone by, as we've discussed before, with the home run rate being up. So, I mean, Taz, an ugly scene last night in Major League Baseball in Cincinnati. I don't think you're going to get away or do away with purpose pitches. I don't think it's going to go, by the wayside. I do think that you have to be respectful, though, of other players and their careers where you can't throw anywhere near the head. I think that's the biggest issue you had last night, was the fact of where the general vicinity of where the pitch was. Listen, he didn't hit him in the head. I've seen other purpose pitches closer to the head than what we saw last night between the Reds and the Pirates. However, anytime you get close to that region, guys are going to get upset, and that's what led to what we saw in the all-out brawl last night in Cincinnati.
The guys are going to get shook, and then, and that's what happens, and that's a good way to get a guy to strike out. By the way, quick note, about Clint Hurdle, the manager of the of the Pirates, and David Bell, the manager of the Reds. And you said, Bell, I know he got ejected and he came back out for this brawl. He probably should have stayed in the clubhouse, because let me tell you something. He got taken down by Clint Hurdle. And not only that, he got put in a legitimate side headlock. I think Hurdle might have, maybe when he was younger, maybe wrestled or something. He applied this side headlock properly. His body position while he had Bell on the ground was perfect. His legs, his hips were sunk into the dirt. I mean, I'm talking about, it was pretty strong headlock and body positioning, and Bell was flat-backed, as we call it.
There you go. And he wanted to come out. He's going to hear from
it. See that right there? That's the proper leg positioning. So your hips are flat, and his headlock's a little wrong, but that's, when you do that, guy can't get up.
There you go.
You put all your weight into him. So someone
nice
told
job
him how
by
to
Clint
do that.
Hurdle.
He knew what he was doing.
Pirates and Reds, did they take it too far last night? Time to move on from the old school baseball mentality. I want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Matt Chatham will join us a little bit later on in the program. We got to go in a little baseball here on this Wednesday morning. It's trade deadline day, 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. Remember, this year, first time that there is one, just one trade deadline, one and only. No August 31st, no waiver deadline. This is just one and only. July 31st, if you don't make a deal by 4 o'clock the Eastern time this afternoon, aside from picking players up off the waiver wire, you're not going to be making any deals here in Major League Baseball. So this is it. We'll see exactly how many trades do come down. He had one last night that was a pretty intriguing one, in which Trevor Bauer goes from Cleveland to the Cincinnati Reds. Taylor Trammell, the number one prospect in the Reds farm system, an outfielder who's having a down year down in the minor leagues, but is a well-thought-of prospect. A guy that many scouts believe has the potential to be a star in Major League Baseball. Just 21 years of age, 6'2", I think he's about 210 pounds, something of that nature. He goes out to San Diego, and the Cleveland Indians end up with, I believe it was four or five players coming back in return for dealing off Trevor Bauer, Taz, who we know the last time we saw him on the mound was throwing the ball over the center field wall out of Kansas City.
Yeah. So now, you know, you got a guy with a little temper there leaving Francona's Indians, and now you got Puig coming in, who might have a little bit of a temper, and he's kind of a dynamic personality himself, so it should be interesting dynamic with him playing for the Indians.
Right. Franmil Reyes, Logan Allen, Yasiel Puig, Victor Nova, and Scott Moss are going the Tribe's way. But we got it going with the brawl here. Look who's in the house. What's going on?
Oh, they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, man.
Here's your report. It is sponsored by Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a Comfort Flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series. Try on a pair today. Somehow, his inclusion in that three-team deal on the eve of the trade deadline is not the biggest Yasiel Puig news this morning. Reports of that trade with Cleveland and San Diego already floating around with this dumb fight started last night. After being one of eight tossed, Puig talked about joining the Indians.
Now it's time to move forward and going to my new team and hope my team to get to the playoffs.
Cleveland also ends up with slugger Franmil Reyes and lefty Logan Allen. They come from the Padres. San Diego gets Reds top prospect Taylor Trammell, and Cincinnati also leaves the deal with Cleveland righty Trevor Bauer.
As Andrew, you don't like a good baseball bro? You called it a dumb fight.
I thought last night, yeah, last night was it's dumb that the Pirates are still angry over Derek Dietrich in April. Amir Garrett charging the dugout. It's just
when he came in the game. When Garrett came in the game, you could tell he was ready to just his testosterone level and blood pressure before he even charged the Pirates dugout.
Right,
he was itching for a fight, as the cliche expression goes.
He's like 6'8", 230, so he's the last guy you want angry.
Moose was saying that he played for basketball for St. John's.
Yeah,
he's actually 6'5", but who's counting?
Whatever.
But anyway, you know, so that's like well, I'm 5'11", and that's like I'm saying I'm 6'3". You know what I mean? Something like
nope.
That. I'm not 5'11", I'm 5'10 and a half. But anyway, no, so the thing is, the other thing that wasn't that we didn't bring up, but this guy charging the Pirates dugout himself, I respect that.
Yeah, good for him.
I mean, just Solo Jones, I'm coming right at you. Yeah, he didn't nail it all, but he did throw a good punch. He did, but he... Yeah, it takes a lot of you-know-what to chutzpah to hit that dugout alone.
So we were talking outside watching the video again, and the bench coach comes out to him in the ninth inning, and it almost looks like the bench coach takes the ball from him
and says, "All right,"
and says, "Okay, go ahead. He knows what's happening because Garrett's talking through his glove the whole time.
He wants to beat everyone up on the Pirates,
and he's almost like, "All right, dude, go get him." And he pats him on the backside, and away they go.
Right. He took the ball, and the bench coach, he looked like he was 3 feet tall. Right. Next to Garrett.
Like me. Like, excuse me, Mr. Amir, what's going on?
He looks so tiny. This guy's gigantic.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. Man, it takes some guts, though, to hit the dugout alone. I mean, of the opposing team. Full throttle speed. They had three guys come out of that dugout, out of that Pirates dugout, to try and cut him off. But it didn't work. He was coming swinging, and he knew his teammates were behind him. They weren't far behind. But yeah, and then that kicked it all off.
Yeah, it did.
As for the game, since he lost it to Pittsburgh last night, 11-4, Cleveland losing at home to Houston 2-0. Justin Verlander caved 13-7. It could have been much easier for the Braves last night in Washington.
A 2-2 pitch lifted in the air to deep right center field. Robles going back. He looks up. There's that long ball you were looking for. It's out of here. Three-run jack for Donaldson. 8-0 Braves.
That's Joe Simpson, Braves Radio. Atlanta led 9-0, then 11-1, but only beat the Nationals 11-8. Their NL East lead is back to 5.5 games. The Cardinals snapping their tie with the Cubs atop the Central with a 2-1 victory. Paul Goldschmidt, tie-breaking solo homer bottom six. He's now gone deep in 7 of his last 8 games. The Dodgers, the first to 70 wins, a 9-4 final at Coors Field, and the Phillies topped the Giants 4-2. The Rays rallied for a 6-5 win at Fenway. The Yankees losing at home to the D-backs 4-2. The A's dropped the Brewers 3-2 and 10. Matt Olson took Josh Hader deep.
You're playing some sound here? Can I interrupt you?
No, please, come on in.
That's what I do. I interrupt you all the time. Al Dukes, you know, the producer of Boomer and Geo, down the hall here at WFAN. You know, you guys got to look at his Twitter. I just noticed 6 minutes ago he tweets from one of the restrooms in the building here. Attention, WFAN employees, one of you left your toothbrush in the bathroom, and there's a tube of Crest, a toothbrush. It's like,
I know who it is.
It could be a CBS Sports Radio employee, Al, not just WFM, but you know who it is?
I think Martin, the engineer who's often in here in the morning, he brushes his teeth multiple times a day here.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And yet he still has bad breath. I don't get it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, Mike says he's out today.
I saw the other engineer come in this morning. I think he's on his vacation this week.
Oh, he is. So
never mind then.
They would have two.
Martin does brush his teeth multiple times a day, though. So maybe the new engineer does.
Well, it's pretty well documented. To your point, Moose, the engineers here at the company, they have great dental hygiene. I mean, this is this is like a big part of the job.
No, maybe the other guy does.
He might. You might be
Harris Allen. I don't know.
I actually have a problem with anyone brushing their teeth here. It's a weird, like, I'm all for dental hygiene and non-cavities. It's just a really gross thing to do.
What's more disgusting?
Why is that gross to do?
He's right.
I don't know. Like, first of all, I wouldn't want any of my...
It's a personal thing. It should be done at home. It's personal.
And, like, I wouldn't want to use a public sink for brushing my teeth.
It's gross. I agree with you. Because it's gross. You're at your workplace. You shouldn't... I mean, what do? I got to bring soap here. I got to bring soap and lather myself down during the break in the bathroom. What am I going to... I got to wash my feet? What am I going to... I'm at work.
What are you talking about? Who's talking about taking a bath?
No, I'm talking... Well, you're talking about... It's okay to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's part of personal hygiene. You don't do that.
Wait, bathing myself in a sink is similar to brushing my teeth?
Sure, it's hygiene.
Yeah.
Falls in the same way.
I mean, same place where people leave, go to the bathroom and leave it in the toilet and don't flush the bowl.
That's also disgusting. Unacceptable. That's exactly why you shouldn't be brushing your teeth in that same room, because there's nonsense going around.
In the sink, if you wash your hands and it's the water, I mean, it's not like you're rubbing your toothbrush on the walls.
So let me ask you a question, Moose. So you go, during the break, you run to the men's room, okay, and, we're limited. Not like other people have jobs where they go to the bathroom to take their time. We have a clock we have to beat.
Right.
So we got to get back for the break.
Yeah,
so
you got 5 minutes.
You're in the restroom. You do number one. You go over to the sink. There's 2 or 3 sinks in these bathrooms. You're washing your hands, la-da-dee, la-da-dee. And right next to you is Mark Chernoff, our program director. And he's sitting there, and he's just, and he's brushing his teeth like crazy.
That won't bother me.
That won't bother you.
No.
That won't bother you one bit.
Wow. No.
And what if next to him is Jerry Recco, and he's got his shirt off, and he's putting on body cream?
Now you're being ridiculous.
No, I'm serious. Like, this is part of things we do in our private bathrooms.
No, but that's
being
different.
Ridiculous.
That's being ridiculous. That example,
Jerry rubbing,
brushing your teeth and being shirtless and putting on body cream, one has nothing to do with the other.
It's things we do in our personal bathrooms. That's our personal space. I'll give you a better question than that.
Jerry glossing up for TV.
Maybe that's a bad example.
Well, that's a terrible example. Yeah.
All right. Jerry in the bathroom putting sculpturing gel in his head. No, I'm kidding.
What about shaving? What if
Boomer Esiason is in one sink shaving full throttle, okay, and next to that sink is Gio, and he's just brushing his teeth, and there's Moose washing his hands after the bathroom.
I got no issue with somebody if they, I've seen guys on television go and shave in the bathroom if they don't have time to do it. I've seen Bart Scott shave over at SNY. Guys do that. That does not bother me. Now, if you're going to be shirtless in the bathroom, that's one thing. It bothers me more if you don't flush the toilet.
Oh, of course.
I could tell. You've said this more than once, and I don't blame you because I'm with you on that. But I'm just saying, if someone is in the bathroom at work brushing their teeth, it's a little personal. Also, and I see the correlation of a man with no shirt on putting deodorant on while he's at work. I mean, you know, a guy, a hedge fund guy, he's in the bathroom, he's got his shirt off, and, you know, he's shaving his chest hair before he goes to the office, to the desk. I mean, it's disgusting, but we don't see this happening, but it's the same as someone brushing their teeth. It's personal stuff you do in your bathroom. All right, what's more disgusting? I'll pose this
question. Shaving your chest is similar to
really
brushing your teeth.
You're really bad at this game.
Well, do you agree that it's personal hygiene items? These are things
we do. They're different levels. Okay. They're different
now
levels.
You got levels of hygiene. Okay. So
well, there's different levels. You're shirtless and you're shaving your chest in a public bathroom is different than brushing your teeth.
So if Jerry Recco was in the company bathroom here with his shirt off and he's
gross.
Okay, you agree. He's putting body cream on his shoulders.
But I don't think anyone's going to do that. I don't think anyone's going to do that.
I
think someone's probably going to go in the stall and do that if they need to put cream
but
on.
But see, when I came into the workplace,
sunburn, a little aloe.
Right, true. When I left the wrestling business, which, by the way, that's a place like Pro Athletes where at work you shower, you shave at work because you're in a locker room. You know, you're putting on body cream in front of other men. This happens. You know, I'm comfortable
well,
in my manhood. It's different. It's a
locker room.
But it's still your workplace.
Yeah,
imagine, it's your workplace.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's kind of. I never thought of that.
Imagine guys in the NFL put body cream on.
No, I'm just saying. No, you missed my point. I'm just saying I never thought of that. While I was at work in wrestling for so many years, we were all doing these things. But in an office environment, it's a little awkward. That's all I'm saying. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. That's all I'm saying. It's a little weird for someone to be brushing teeth at work. So I see what Al Dukes. Al obviously has a problem with it because he put the picture out there. And I don't blame him.
Well, I mean, I think he's a little trouble that someone would brush their teeth and leave it behind.
Well, yeah, I also think Al...
Al's a little bit of a germaphobe.
He is, and I respect that. I mean, you know, I'm looking at people tweeting towards Al. They're saying, this is gross, it's disgusting. So people understand. You know, they see people saying, disgusting, it's horrible. And there's a bunch of pictures of Mike Francesa, gifts, guys. That's another story.
There you go.
Never get
what are you, nuts?
No, but here's another question I have. That has nothing to do. Well, actually,
is Jerry's shirt still off?
No, his shirt is on.
Okay.
Forget about the workplace. I pose this question to you people here and to people listening, you know, at home or in a car or whatever. What's more disgusting? Brushing your teeth at work or someone eating something while they're in the shower?
What could you eat in the shower?
Well, no, because I was watching. You know, I watched the show Big Brother. You guys know on CBS, right? I'm big mark for the show. Mm-hmm. The big mark for the
you are a mark
for the reality show Big Brother, right? So one of the guys and the girls they were romantically involved that are living in this house.
All right,
and so they have like it's a public shower, but it's you can't see. You know, it's blocked like the glass is blocked for people. So because you're living with guys and girls living together, so. A lot of times, so the guy goes in there while she's showering, but he's not in the shower with her. He's eating watermelon. He walks in the bathroom with a bowl of chopped up watermelon, and he starts feeding her watermelon while she's showering, but there's a glass door in between them with privacy glass. I was like, my wife's like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Like, is that not gross? Like, is your significant other feeding you watermelon while you're showering down?
She couldn't hold the bowl in the shower under the water knee, but if she's just going to be fed something while she's not, like, standing in the stream of water, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I got to tell you, does that bother you?
Not really. Not like, no. I mean, it's watermelon. Eating a burger and fries.
That's a good point. It is watermelon, and she is in water. I didn't think of it that way. But I'm just saying, it's like it's like eating and showering. It's like to me, it's a separate thing. Mm. Mike, you seem like you have no problem with this.
No, I think it's disgusting.
Okay,
all of it's disgusting.
The whole thing. Yeah. All right.
All right, Andrew.
Hey, I'm still here.
Just trying to have a little fun here. That's
all. Yeah. No.
No, we did. We talked about it. Yeah. I have no issue. I have no issue with you know. Plus, the romantically involved is a little bit different. No.
Yep.
So Jerry's shirt is off. The left ankle injury that A.J. Green suffered Saturday, more serious than the Bengals' first thought. Green had surgery yesterday. He's now expected to miss the first few regular season games. Ravens rookie wideout Marquise Brown passed his physical yesterday, could make his training camp debut today. Brown missed all offseason workouts following foot surgery. And Jill Ellis is stepping down as head coach of the women's national soccer team. She's coached more games than anyone else in program history and is the only coach to win multiple Women's World Cups. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it, buddy. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Non-contenders making
All the trades in Major League Baseball for pitching. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question, be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. MLB trade deadline is later on this afternoon. We chatted about it yesterday, Taz, in terms of the Mets starters, Zach Wheeler and Noah Syndergaard. Right now with the Mets, four under, right? Five back. A couple teams that they have to jump over in the wild card race in the National League. Do you think either one of those two guys go anywhere? Do you think the Mets go all in on the rest of the year?
I mean, after Syndergaard's performance last night, we had, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched a little bit, but I conked
11
out.
Strikeouts.
11 strikeouts. Yeah. I mean, he pitched great. So, I think Noah feels like he's staying. You know, he's kind of putting it out there. Like, he kind of feels like he's staying there. You know, I follow him on Twitter. He's got, like, he's always putting stuff out there with him and Mrs. Met and all this stuff, like, funny stuff. Like, he wants to, I feel like he wants to stay. I think he does stay. The other day, I felt like he was going to get moved. I don't know. I mean, I can't wait for it to end. I just hope, I'm kind of hoping he stays, because last night he looked great in the 5-2 victory over the White Sox.
Yeah, he did. I think eventually he's going to go. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily by 4 o'clock this afternoon. I mean, it might end up in the off season. I don't think the Mets right now, as it stands, have any interest in signing him to a long term contract extension. And they've got 2 years left to control for Syndergaard, from my understanding. So I think eventually Syndergaard will go. They floated his name out there before, and I think it's an intriguing intriguing look when you look at this Mets team, who are taking advantage of what is right now a very weak schedule. They're playing some good baseball.
Right.
Callaway touched upon last night after their victory in Chicago over the White Sox. You mentioned Syndergaard's dominant performance. He was great. Edwin Diaz was once again a disaster, as the Mets won that game in extra innings and got back-to-back home runs by McNeil and Conforto in order to win it, which was their fifth straight win. So four under, five back in the wild card race. I don't think Syndergaard's going. I think Wheeler's probably going to go, because I don't think they're going to sign Wheeler to a long-term contract after this season.
Right.
So maybe it ends up being the Houston Astros, but I'd be surprised if they're both here, Taz. I don't think Syndergaard's going to go. I'd be surprised if by 4 o'clock this afternoon, if Zach Wheeler is still a New York Met. Maybe they decide that after their recent surge that maybe they can feel like they, with this staff now adding Marcus Stroman, that they can go on a special run. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you move Vargas to Philly, which, okay. And, you got Stroman, which shows that you want to win in 2020, even though it's kind of a little late to the dance for 2019 here, as we said. Even like you said, they are playing good right now. And you know what? Yeah, you're right. The schedule's been a little bit weaker, but you know what? You know how it is. You play what's in front of you, and that's what they're doing. So they're winning some games here and there. But, as a fan, you just want to see them win. I mean, we don't expect them. I don't think Met fans expect them to go and dominate and win the NL. I mean, that's not happening. It's nowhere near. It's just not going to happen. But I'm with you. I think.
But what's a smart business move? What realistically speaking?
You move Wheeler, I think.
You think that's the smart business play for a baseball franchise? So you would you would be surprised if Wheeler's still on this team 4:01 Eastern time?
Yeah, I would be. And the reason why, I think, and I felt the difference the other day. Initially when we talked about this, I think it was early in the week or less. I think it was early in the week. I was hoping Syndergaard was sticking around and he wasn't going to get moved. And then I'm like, and now they're going to move him. And then I'm thinking, let's keep Wheeler. I mean, Wheeler pitched great at the end of the week last week, all this stuff. But you know what? I'm thinking business-wise, when you just said business-wise, if you're splitting hairs between who am I keeping, Wheeler or Syndergaard? And I'm the New York Mets.
Or you could keep both.
Right. But let's
say you decide to play out the year and keep both and say that this staff, we can go on a run, just like the Nats have gone on a run. I mean, at one point in time, the Nats were 11 games under the 500 mark, right? And they played. And they went on a great torrid stretch, won a lot of baseball games, and are right there to win a wild card spot in the National League. Maybe the Mets feel like, why not us?
Yeah, well, yeah. They could be thinking that. I hope so. But
I get it. I mean, but I'm asking, if you're in that room, you've watched this team a lot this year.
Well, of course, yeah.
Would you make the play and say, all right, let's go, let's roll the dice and see if maybe we can get to the postseason and keep Wheeler around? Or do you realistically look and say, no, that's not the right decision to make? We've still got an uphill battle. We got to pair Zach Wheeler off.
Yeah, I think you move Wheeler. I think because they just need to. They just for assets and whatnot. Here's my point. If I was the owner of the Mets, and I'm like, okay, what do I got? Let's say I had to get rid of one of them. I know they don't. Wheeler or Syndergaard. I'm moving Wheeler. Okay, because Wheeler, just from a star perspective, you know, Thor. He's Thor. He's got a gimmick. He's got a persona. He's a draw. He's a bigger star than Wheeler. Wheeler's a hell of a pitcher. I like Wheeler, you know, but and after the performance of yesterday, it's kind of tough to, I mean, unless you look at it like, well, Syndergaard's value is really up there now because he played so, you know, he had 11 strikeouts last night and stuff like that. So maybe you do move him. But I'm saying for star power, for drawing ability, you know, a Syndergaard, you can't compare Wheeler to him. You know, he's a star. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I believe in that. If a guy's a good enough player and he's got some star power, you know, are either of them as dominant as Jacob DeGrom? No, I know that, but he's a star too. But this guy, Thor, he's Thor. He's no Syndergaard. He's a star. He looks like a star, and he's a hell of a pitcher. So, I mean, I think you try and keep him around. If you're going to move one of them, I'd move Wheeler.
Yeah, I think Wheeler goes because you don't have control. I think if the roles were reversed, I think Syndergaard would go. But you've got to control him for the next 2 years, and that's what adds something to the value of Noah Syndergaard as well, as Zach Wheeler's an impending free agent. You know, Wheeler's second half last year, you know, he pitched the level of Jacob DeGrom. Statistically, he was better in the second half last year than the guy that won the Cy Young Award in the National League. That's how good Zach Wheeler was before he got shut down. So he's pitched at a level that only Jacob DeGrom on that staff has hit. But, Taz, he's going to be a free agent, and I don't think the Mets are going to look to pay him. The question, you know, as I mentioned before, it's now, you know, they got hot probably at the wrong time for Brody Van Wagenen.
True.
Because now he's got a decision to make, and I think it might, you know, I think Met fans would understand it if Wheeler goes because of the acquisition of Marcus Stroman, but it's an intriguing decision to make because...
What do you think happens? What do you, I mean, you cover this team, you're not a Met fan, you do cover them.
Yeah,
so.
I think Wheeler goes, I think Syndergaard stays.
Right, okay.
I was asked that question last night, and I said, well, I do think that that's the right, the baseball play, Taz, because I think there's not a lot in that pitching market right now. You know, there's been some you know, debate about whether or not Madison Bumgarner with the Giants is available, but we know Bumgarner's stuff is down. But he's got a great October resume. Reports out of Houston are the Astros do love Zach Wheeler. The Yankees do like Zach Wheeler,
and they need pitching.
And the Yankees do need pitching.
Starter,
so.
Man.
I mean, and the Mets...
And they're going to be in the postseason.
Well, and the Mets have also pillaged their farm system.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing on the horizon. There's guys in single A and low A, Taz, rookie ball, that they do like, but those guys are years away. We're talking about 3-4 years away. I mean, we're not talking about the here and now. All the guys that could significantly help this team in the here and now are other spots. They've paired them off in the last 6 to 8 months. So, I mean, in that instance, you know, you trade a Zach Wheeler, and now you're able to replace him with Marcus Stroman, you know, for next year and beyond. I think that's the right play. But, you know, would it be crazy to think that Zach Wheeler's here come 4:01 Eastern time, Taz, with them winners of 5 in a row looking at saying, we've got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and Wheeler? That we could go on a great run here? Convince themselves of that?
You would think that teams that are going to be playing in the postseason, like the Yankees, would love to have at least three of those four guys.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, with their offense and their defense behind those pitchers.
Yankees trade half the farm system for DeGrom.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Mets are going to be sitting home watching with all these great pitchers.
Well, you never know. Maybe this is the start of a special run.
Yeah.
It could be the start of a special run.
I hope so. I'll be chirping like crazy.
Listen, DeGrom should win tonight in Chicago and beat the White Sox. That'll be six in a row. That'll be three under.
Be awesome.
One day, one game at a time. Come back. The campgrounds next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.